So my... All right, so my presentation is on the characteristics of male HIV-positive Ryan White clients with transgender sexual partners. I have no relationships to disclose. I'll start with a few definitions. Transgender is an umbrella term that includes persons whose gender identity, expression, or behavior does not conform to societal gender norms associated with sex at birth. And then MST, MSM, and MSW are abbreviations that I'll use throughout this presentation to refer to the three study groups that we looked at: men who report sex with transgender partners, men who report sex with male partners, and men who report sex with only female partners. First, some background. Transgender individuals have a high burden of HIV, yet little research has been done on the partners of transgender persons. Some research has looked at men who have sex with transgender partners as a subset of men who have sex with men. One project looking at this group of MSM who also report transgender partners found that they may be a bridge for HIV transmission to transgender persons. A more recent study in San Francisco looked at HIV testing clients and found that those who reported transgender sexual partners engage in more risky sex behaviors but have lower rates of HIV than other HIV testing clients. But men with transgender partners remain a not well understood population, not well studied. Better knowledge of the characteristics of HIV-positive men who have sex with transgender partners is important for multiple reasons. First, for individual health, it can inform curricula that could help address the HIV care needs of this particular population. For public health, interventions that can prevent the onward transmission of HIV could be informed by this research. And then, in addition, it could help us in understanding the HIV risk factors for transgender individuals. Our project had two aims. First, to understand the characteristics and risk factors of HIV-positive men who have sex with transgender partners. And second, to characterize this population by comparing them to other men with similar characteristics. So we examined differences between MST and two other groups of HIV-positive Ryan White clients in New York City, men who have sex with men and men who have sex with women. Our project had two data sources. The first one is the Electronic System for HIV/AIDS Reporting and Evaluation, or eShare. Ryan White Part A providers in the New York eligible metropolitan area enter data into eShare on clients and the services that they receive. To be eligible for Ryan White Part A funded services, a client must have income below 435% of the federal poverty level, and they must live in the New York eligible metropolitan area. HIV-positive clients enrolled in a Ryan White program who are entered into eShare are assessed at program intake on demographics, social, clinical, and behavioral characteristics. And for many programs, the behavioral characteristics include questions on sexual history. Clients that remain enrolled in the program are reassessed approximately every 6 months. eShare data gives us a unique opportunity to identify MST and to look at their characteristics. And all variables used in this project, other than lab values, were obtained from eShare. Our second data source was the New York City HIV Surveillance Registry. The registry is a comprehensive source of HIV laboratory data on HIV-positive patients seen in New York City. Twice a year, we match our eShare client population to the registry using client identifiers, and data on CD4 and viral load tests were used for this study. This allowed us to look at retention and care and reliable HIV outcome data for eShare clients. This flowchart shows how we got to our final study population. There were almost 22,000 HIV-positive individuals enrolled in Ryan White Part A supportive services in New York City who were assessed between January 2011 and June 2013. A little over half of these clients had assessments done in programs that require the collection of sexual history. 7,172 of these clients were male. 4,700 male clients reported being sexually active in the 12 months prior to the date of assessment and could be categorized into one of our study groups. Clients have the option to decline to respond to questions on the sexual history, so some men could not be categorized. If a client had more than one eligible assessment during the study period, then the earliest dated assessment was used for the project. And then of those clients, 4,662 men matched to the registry. Our final study populations include 147 MST, who were men who reported having any sex in the past 12 months with at least one partner who they identified as transgender. In addition, there were 2,198 MSW and 2,317 MSM. MST made up 3% of this final study population. Note that these three study groups were mutually exclusive. This Venn diagram shows how the study groups were divided. The MST group includes everyone in this red circle. So they were all men who reported transgender partners, whether or not they also reported partners of other genders. It's interesting to note that this group was comprised of a mix of men who reported only transgender partners, transgender and male partners, transgender and female partners, or transgender male and female partners. The MSM group included men who reported only male partners, as well as men who reported male and female partners. And the MSW group were men who reported only female partners during the 12 months prior to assessment. So we looked at most of the client variables that were available to us in eShare. Year of birth and race ethnicity are collected when a client is first entered into eShare. Country of birth, education level, and year of HIV diagnosis are collected at program intake, and the remaining variables are collected at program intake and again at reassessment. Registry data was used to determine viral load suppression using the most recent viral load measure in the registry during the 6 months prior to assessment. And the cutoff was 200 for the viral load suppression. And retention and care looked for at least two visits during the 12 months prior to the assessment, with those visits at least 91 days apart. A primary care visit date entered into eShare or a viral load or CD4 count in the registry were used as evidence of a care visit. Note that the substance use questions ask about a three-month window prior to assessment for those questions, while the sexual behavior questions ask about the 12 months prior to assessment. For analyses, we started with descriptive frequencies on the MST group, and then we ran chi-square tests to identify independent associations between being in the MST group and each of the study covariates. All associations were run twice, once comparing MST to MSW, and a second time comparing MST to MSM. So these are the results of the frequencies. Just to highlight a few of the numbers, 20% of this population were foreign-born. 42% reported being unstably or temporarily housed, and nearly three-quarters of them reported income below the federal poverty level. For the clinical and behavioral characteristics, 70% reported being currently prescribed ARVs, yet over half of them had unsuppressed viral load. 54% of these men reported anal or vaginal sex without a condom during the 12 months prior to assessment. These next four slides look at the comparisons between the different study groups. For all of these slides, missing and unknown responses were excluded from the chi-square comparisons, and percentages in red are those that were statistically significantly different from the percentages for the MST group at the p less than 0.05 level. So for the characteristics listed on this slide, MST were significantly younger and more educated than MSW, but they were significantly older and less educated than MSM. MST and MSW also differed significantly on race and ethnicity, and MST and MSM differed significantly on country of birth. For the remaining demographic variables, MST and MSW, MST were significantly less likely to be insured than MSW, but they did not differ on the other variables on this slide. MST, when compared to MSM, however, were more likely to be unemployed, living below the federal poverty level, and to have a history of incarceration. On to the clinical and behavioral variables. MST were significantly less likely than MSW to be prescribed ARVs or to be retained in care, but MST were significantly more likely to be retained in care than the MSM group. MST differed significantly from both comparison groups on year of HIV diagnosis. And finally, MST were significantly more likely than both MSW or MSM to report recent injection drug use. MST were also more likely than MSW to report anal or vaginal sex without a condom and to report multiple sex partners during the 12 months prior to assessment. MST and MSM did not differ significantly on these characteristics. So, to summarize all of those numbers, a higher proportion of MST than expected reported recent injection drug use when compared to both the MSW and MSM groups. The MST were significantly more likely than MSW to report risky sex behaviors and significantly less likely to be retained in care, but the MST appear to have fewer psychosocial stressors than MSW. In the MST and MSM comparisons, they were not significantly different on most clinical and behavioral measures, but the MST appeared to have more psychosocial stressors than the MSM group. This project had a number of limitations. All of the variables entered into eShare are self-reported, and so most significantly the sexual behavior data that we have is self-reported, which means that clients may decline to answer questions. They may have opted not to report transgender partners to the person collecting data, or they may have identified, if they think of their transgender women partners as female, they may have identified them as a female partner rather than a transgender partner. We have no way of validating those responses. Not all programs, not all Ryan White Part A programs require sex questions, so we couldn't include all clients in this project. eShare lacks more specific sexual behavior information, so data on the frequency of sex, the use of protection by partner type, and the HIV status of partners would all help in understanding which partners the client is having risky sex with. eShare doesn't distinguish between transgender male or transgender female partners. The question is asks whether you've had a particular type of sex, like have you had anal sex with a transgender partner in the last 12 months? And so it doesn't specify which type of transgender that partner is, so we can't know for sure. The study included a relatively small number of MST, which could have limited our ability to detect differences between the groups. All of these data came from one point in time, and so sexual behavior, as well as many other covariates, can change over time. And most notably, this is a very specific group of men in New York City. Clients who are eligible for Ryan White services are low income. These clients are all engaged in some type of supportive service, and so they're not necessarily generalizable to other men elsewhere. So this was our initial attempt to describe this population. MST appear to have a high risk of onward HIV transmission. They seem to be dealing with many different life and environmental stressors, and they do not seem to be a subset of MSM. This is important data for program planning. Very few HIV prevention efforts are currently focused on this population. It tends to be a hidden population, but appears to be one that could use more examination. And hopefully, work like this could help to design services that can address the needs of this population. But more research is certainly needed to better understand the specifics of their risky sex behaviors and their characteristics in general. Thank you.